All right, we're ready to continue our journey through the Psalms. And so far, we're sticking to it. Last time I tried to go through Psalms, we got maybe to 5, and then I started a new book. You know, just wasn't sure how that was going to go. And that's how it went that time. But so far, we're moving through it. Today, we're at Psalm 17. Psalm 17 and 18, maybe a little bit of 19 today. Today we're going to talk about Psalm 17, where God takes possession of man, takes possession of you and me. We become his possession. Not only just like a property or the lawnmower under the shed, or something that he takes out like to use once in a while, but the apple of his eye, that type of possession, a loved possession, a very prized possession. Psalm 18 is going to bring us just a flip of that, is in that when we possess the things of God, we possess the Lord. We take possession of the things of his kingdom. We seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and we start taking possession of some things in the kingdom of God because we've been given the right to through the blood of Jesus Christ. Through this flow, this is all David here in the spirit, in this song, in these prayers. Through this flow, you'll see that develop. He's going to begin Psalm 17 in a place that seems to be empty, in this place that seems to be in of need. One of the songs that we had this morning is, I Need You. There's nothing wrong with that song. When you mature in the Lord, that need doesn't decrease. It doesn't stay the same. It increases. As you decrease, he increases, and the need for him increases. Because you're decreasing. You just need more of him as you decrease, as you die. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we're all on that journey together. It's called the church. Your brothers and sisters around you on that same path. And it's a wonderful journey that we have with God, following him. So here David starts. It's the title of it. And Psalm 17 isn't something that was added by the Bible makers here. That's actually part of the scripture. A prayer of David. Hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goes not out of feigned or fake deceitful lips. Untruthful lips. So I am crying out to you, God, in truth. I'm not trying to trick you, God. I'm not trying to pull strings or pull wool over your eyes. I am seeking you in truth. Good place to be. But also, he's coming from a place of need. There's an emptiness in him that's causing him to cry out. There's a need. Connecting that to the end of this prayer, you're going to see that need being filled. So we go from emptiness in Psalm 17 to the end of 17 here, where he's filled with faith and hope. Then into Psalm 18, from this filling, you're going to see love and then an overflowing. So it's a real beautiful flow, Psalm 17 and 18. Very excited about it. From emptiness to being filled properly, the way you're designed to be filled. Psalm 18, now being filled to being overfilled. The abundant life, the overflow. Really cool. Psalm 17 and 18. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence, verse 2. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Speaking of balances, judgment, you see the scales when you're in the courts, you know, that's the symbol of justice. Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. In other words, he's being honest before God. There is no deceit in him. He's not saying I've never sinned. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm not equal to you, God. That's not what's happening here. He's simply coming before God in tremendous honesty. In David's life here, one of the things that was significant was his treatment of his boss, Saul. And in that, Saul had some type of schizophrenia or whatever the diagnosis was. It was one day he was trying to kill David, the next he wanted David next to him, singing to him. and there was this craziness about him. Yet David did not go before God, you know, get in front of God and take advantage of the situation. He respected God's anointing and God's choosing of that man until God was to remove him, until God had completed his purposes. So David was very sensitive into that. So that's the honesty that's coming before you. David didn't have a complete, perfect life. That's not what's being conveyed here. But this situation that he's in, he was really respecting the things of God, and he was doing things right. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the path of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thy ear unto me, and hear my speech. Now in this process, in this flow of God possessing us, then us possessing God, you're going to hear the different attributes of God and kind of characterize in these traits. The ear of God, the eyes of God, the lips of God, the paths of God even. Interesting. The hands of God, the wings of God, and the face of God, all in this one psalm. These are the things that God uses, the elements of God that touch us tangibly, that reach out to us, that interact with us. This is how God takes possession of us. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear, there's his ear, unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them that put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me as a hockey stick in the closet. No. Keep me as a blunder. Keep me as a shotgun for you, God. And we say the possession, the whole goal here is that it's a loving relationship, not religious, not in that type of being whipped by a hard taskmaster, a spirit of fear, dangling over the fires of hell, or God cackling like a witch over us because, you know, we're waiting for us to mess up and strike us with lightning. Keep me as the apple of thy eye. If you can connect with that, that would be awesome. Spiritual songs help us connect with that. I was connecting with that this morning when we were singing. Songs are a lot more than words and rhythms and sound. Songs involve the heart. So we're going to get into something pretty deep here in regards to music. Gretchen wrote a song last week. She hasn't written one. It was a couple weeks ago, and she's brought it into church a couple times. And I found myself actually singing this. I probably wasn't supposed to say that yet. I haven't gotten permission. All right. So don't tell anybody else. So a secret is something you only tell one person at a time. I don't know. All right, whatever, I'm in trouble. Okay. I'm not sure why she wanted to keep a secret. She doesn't, she gets embarrassed, I guess, about things and doesn't want to draw attention. All right, so, but I want to show you, I want to tell you something about music today and something the Lord was showing me, even though that has nothing to do with the giftings or talents or anointings that I have. But I certainly see the gift of God. All right, praise God. Keep me as the apple of thy eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Okay, the things of God that tell us that we are his loved possession are the ears of God, him listening to us. The eyes of God, him looking at us with those loving eyes, not stern eyes, not bent furrowed brows. The lips of God speaking to us. You could go to Proverbs and you can hear that father, son, father, daughter type of speaking truths. Son, listen to me. Don't go in that direction. A loving father saying, don't do that or do this. You know, that type of thing. That quiet conversation of a loving father to his son. Beautiful. The lips of God, again, telling you that you are the apple of his eye. You are his prized possession. The paths of God there mentioned. That's an interesting one. That speaks to purpose. Look at that verse again there. Hold up my goings, my paths, my goings, in thy paths. So it's like that overlay of the things that I'm doing and the things that I have before me, God, overlay your purposes. So it's seeing our Father who art in heaven, thy will be done, thy kingdom come over all of my things and purposes and plans and events for the day. That's really cool way. I love the way it's written there. It's just his path being transposed over mine. It might look like I'm going to Walmart, but his path transposed over Walmart is somebody's in need there of hearing the gospel. Someone's in need there of just a smile, an encouragement. Someone's in need there of something. Okay, so that would be an example of that. Now he's going to get into discussion here a little bit of the wicked. For the wicked that oppress me from my deadly enemies who compass me or surround me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us or surrounded us. I'll get to that. What does that mean in a minute here? They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing to the earth. There's a prideful going on with them. Like as a lion that is greedy on his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places, always looking to consume, always looking to devour. It's a selfish place where you're at the center of your universe. So the wicked is being described here as being enclosed in their own fat. That's a person being fat would be, in this culture, be understood to be a successful person. You know, your riches, you're filled with bounty was actually considered a good thing. You know, that you were doing well, you were prospering. But they were prospering materially. That was the extent of what they had. They're enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth, they speak proudly. So those two things there. A lion, now they're looking greedily to consume more, lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him in verse 13. Cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword, or confront them with thy sword. From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world which have their portion in this life, and whose belly or womb, this is specifically speaking of, thou fillest with thy hid treasure, speaking of the gift of children. They are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. So having riches and family is a big thing in our culture, in our American culture. And notice the context that's being given here. The pride, all of the stuff that goes with it, and the wickedness, it has to do with the enemies of David here. It has to do with the wicked. So what we might consider a virtue by itself, people might be going all the way to hell. It might be the broad way to destruction. They're taking care of their family. And I've heard this from several people. I don't go to church, but that's my family day. That type of thing, where now the family has become an idol in their life, and they think that now that's their religion, and by serving my family, that's how I'm going to please God or be a good person or whatever that means, reach nirvana, be recycled, all the stuff that goes with whatever your philosophy is, that the family is held up at the pinnacle of there. So it's certainly a type of worship. It seems strange to us. Well, that seems like a good person. They're not causing any damage. They're wonderful in the community. They contribute, they take care of their family. The problem is that they're going to hell. And that's a big problem if they don't know Christ. If they don't know Christ. Now, being wonderful in your family and taking care of your family is an awesome thing, but it doesn't save you. It isn't the whole value and purpose of what God called you on this earth. So don't make it an idol. That was actually the tough part. It might not sound tough, but I didn't want it to come across angry or something like that. And it's the confirmation that Asher gave with Ruth, you know, where she was able to separate herself. Naomi was saying, you need to go back to your people, your family. They're going to be worried about you. And she chose something above that. She recognized real truth, the real God. And so she risked everything. Being a Moabite, it's not a good idea to go into Jerusalem. You were the washpot. You were the filth of the earth. But God would choose her in the the thin red line of salvation for you and me. Great story. So praise God, Asher is right in the groove of the Spirit, not a surprise this morning. That confirms this, that to put God above even those things that we think, well, certainly God must reward me because I put my family first in the situation. That's a tough topic. I don't intend to go into that any further, but to touch on that, allow God to work with you if you are intrigued to do so. More on that. As for me, it says in 15, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Salvation, so much so, is more than getting a ticket to heaven and just grinning and bearing it till we get there. Salvation, this awakening in his likeness, is when we receive the Holy Spirit of God and become a new creature. And that's now for you and me, by believing in Jesus Christ in our heart, that he died for my sins, and confessing with my mouth these things. My salvation is made real now. My rebirth happens now. I awake in his likeness. That is pretty cool, and that's a daily experience for the believer. Finding his mercies new even. And I am satisfied. So what a beautiful prayer of David in Psalm 17 of God taking possession of David. How? With his eyes, with his ears, with his wings covering, with his paths overlaying, with the hands of God being his strength, with the face of God. With the face of God just looking at him. I recall a story hearing recently of a child that ended up being raised by his grandparents after maybe 10 years old or whatever. And that child never had that intimacy with the parents. The parents never looked at the child in the eye. And so that child, in counseling later, they found out they just couldn't remember any of the years. I think it was actually up to 12. Couldn't remember anything. During that time, you know, digging deeper, finding out what happened is that there was no identity. The child never had an identity up until the grandparents took them and actually looked at that child in the face and beheld them. Actually looked at them in the face and recognized that that was a person right there. Not an it. Not an it. Not a problem. Not an issue. A person. Human being. We need to see each other that way. And more even, a human being that Christ died for. So the grandparents, and then his memory started working after that and started remembering who he was. God doesn't have his back against you. His face is forward towards you. And he wants you to know that you are the apple of his eye and to stop listening to anything else that would come contrary to that. He's covering you with a shadow of his wings. He's beholding you with eyes that are tender and tearing. His ears are close to you, listening to every word, every inclination. His paths are perfect. There are peace. He's welcoming you to have them overlay your past, acknowledge him in all your ways. David going from emptiness and need to being filled, satisfied, underlined in verse 15. From need to being satisfied, verse 1 to 15. God satisfies you. We're going to end up today in Ephesians 5, and we're going to talk about that satisfaction. It says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to get into that today. So now, Psalm 18, let's take possession of the things that God would have us take possession of. Oh, can we do that? Well, certainly, Jesus even said it. Here in Luke 12:32, let me read it to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's his pleasure. It's God's pleasure to give you these things. So take a hold of them. Take possession of these things that God would have you. Don't turn your back and say, I'm not good enough. There is no reward in that. There's no reward in that. Take possession of these things that God has called us to. Tonight, we're going to be getting more into this. Peter's going to bring a message regarding the things that we possess when we come to be saved. So that's 7:30 tonight. We'll have the AC on. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Take possession of it. By the way, that's right in part and parcel with the teaching about seeking first the kingdom of God. Make sure we take possession of the things we're supposed to have. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. So we're starting right here from a filled position. I believe 17 and 18 go together. There's quite a title to 18. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of the song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Saul, and he said. So the position of need to being filled and satisfied by God. And now from satisfaction, we're going to get into overflowing as we possess the things of God. We're satisfied when he possesses us, when he owns us. But there's more. Now we're to possess the things of the kingdom. Now the overflow starts happening. I will love thee, O Lord, Jehovah, which Yeshua, the Lord, is my salvation, comes from, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Boy, that was a lot. You list takers, there's quite a list there. In fact, it's shown as a list. Verse 2 is just a list. The other languages, English adds my and different things to let it flow a little better. But it's literally a list there. It says, the Lord is, then it gives a list, rock, fortress, deliverer, strength, trust, buckler, horn, salvation, high tower. Just a list. That helps me a little more because I see a list. It's like a shopping list. These are actually elements that are in our shopping list that we're to possess. We're to fill our carts with to the overflowing. You've been born with a shopping cart called the sin nature, and we filled that. We know how to fill that. Let's fill this new creature, this new creation that God has now taken possession of us. Now we're to fill that new creature with these things. Rock, fortress, deliverer, strength, trust, buckler, shield, horn, salvation, high tower. You're going to hear this in the testimony of David now. All of these elements that he possessed through this testimony he's going to give. Nothing better than to be able to tell a story and bring these elements in to show how they applied in his life. So he's going to do that. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Now, you feel like the testimony is rolling out. The situation with Saul, his boss, and how it played out. The sorrows of death compassed me. There's that surrounding. You hear that a lot when it has to do with that being stressed out. You just feel surrounded. There's no way of escape. Can't define stress any better than that. I can't find any way to escape. Compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell surrounded me about. The snares of death prevented me. Now you hear the testimony flowing? Now he's going to show us how the provision of God, he took possession of these things in this time. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills moved and were shaken, and he was wroth. Now you're talking about the strength that we're to take possession of. This is the strength of God. He's not a wet noodle in heaven. He's not wimpy. He's not Mr. Bean in heaven. He's a powerful God. The earth shook and trembled. And the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken. He's just praying. I guess all we can do is just pray. What are you talking about? The earths are going to shake. The hills are going to move. puffs of smoke coming out of his nostrils. That's what's happening. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and the darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yes, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, another word for camo. He came in camo, man, he was ready. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. That was his camo. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fires. The Lord also thundered in the heavens. In the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yeah, he sent out arrows and scattered them. He wants you to believe. He wants you to have faith and trust that this is happening when you pray. When a saint, when a child of God, when the apple of his eye prays, this happens. He's in camo. He's working. He's fighting for you. Yeah, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me that were too strong for me. They prevented, they attacked me in the day of calamity. Your enemy will do that. You think, well, you know, who you want to find out if they're your real friends. Wait till you're not, things aren't going well for you, and see how they treat you. They attacked me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay, my support, my rock. Take possession of the rock. He's that cleft in the rock. He's just that little secret place there for you to go to. He was my stay. That's where I'm going to stay. I'm going to check in there. I'm going to take possession of that. He brought me forth also into a large place, aka freedom. No longer confined in a box, I'm surrounded by hell. I've been brought into a place of freedom. Take hold of that. Take possession of that. He wants you to. He delivered me. He's a deliverer. Because he delighted in me. Going back to 17, being the apple of his eye. Not because you're his hockey stick. Because he loves you. He delights in you. You're the apple of his eye. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. Bringing this forward to us now, it doesn't hinge on our righteousness. Thank God. David is having a moment here that he did something great in respecting Saul, but he's not going to have all these moments in his life. He's going to have serious failure. Thank you, Lord, that I can say this every day of my life because of Jesus Christ's righteousness that's over me. My righteousness is because of his righteousness, period. So I can pray this, I can sing this every day. The Lord reward me according to my righteousness, which is yours. According to the cleanness of my hands has he recompensed or repaid me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. In Jesus' name, we would bring that forward today and add that rock to it. Therefore, has the Lord recompensed me or repaid me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. In Jesus' name, I am clean. In Jesus' name, I am pure. With a merciful, thou wilt show mercy. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With a pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with a for, thou wilt show thyself for. Or an antagonist against that one that is for. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, wilt bring down the high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. There is that promise, the provision of the kingdom that you're to take provision of. Have you done it? Is he your lighthouse? Is it a bushel under somewhere, under a hidden somewhere? So I pray, you know, the Gretchen song is able to get out and encourage her to allow it out and to bless. Encourage her to get with other people and develop it. There's something going on there. She's written songs before, but there's something special about this one. Get with people, work with it, bless, get the word, allow the word and the spirit to flow through it. Whatever God, you know, I want to support her to do that, because there's something there, there's something of His anointing. Take these provisions that God has allowed us to, the light. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. It's an armor of light that He gives us now. His righteousness is part of that armor of light. The helmet of salvation is part of that armor of light. For by thee I have run through a troop or soldier, and by my God have I leaped over a wall, giving him supernatural abilities. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler, another term for shield, to all those that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? Peter would say this, where are we going to go? Jesus, you have the words of life. Really, where is else? Where else is there? Mars? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. It's the term Kazak. This is the game face. This is ready for battle. You've been strengthened for God to face the enemy. He maketh my feet like hinds feet and setteth me on high places. He teach my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand has holden me up. And thy gentleness has made me great. That's the kingdom of God there. His gentleness has made me great. Love it. Follow Jesus. It's awesome. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. Folks, you ever see a cat play with something after it's caught it? You know, we're not to play with things with the enemy. One thing you learn from the gruesomeness of the Old Covenant here, the Old Testament, when you have this type of fighting going on, is the complete destruction of it. Don't leave a little bit somewhere. Don't leave a little string to pull on. Cut it off. Completely cut it off. In the book of Acts, it talks about that with the lifeboats there. And it's as long as we have these lifeboats, you know, we've got that plan of escape. And what did Paul say? He said, if you don't get rid of, you don't cut those lifeboats, everybody's going to die. The things that man holds on to. It's tough. It's tough. It's like breathing in a whole new kingdom. It really is. For thou hast girded me with the strength, verse 39, unto battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of my enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. Goliath was the first one. Great story. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord. But he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. Who do you think our worst enemy is in our culture, in our present state here? Well, I'll speak for myself, and it is myself. Maybe other cultures, it is the ways of their pagan ways and their voodoo and witches and the possession of demons that they struggle with. It's maybe their central figure and enemy is the devil himself or the ways of the world. But yeah, those are my enemies too. But my central enemy, core enemy, is me. There is no doubt about it. My greatest struggle is me. And when Satan is gone and I'm broken free from his chains in the ways of the world as well, I'm left with that battle of me. In fact, when we go to other cultures and we bring the gospel and we get rid of the voodoo dolls and cast out demons, and they start to prosper and they start to live forward, they're left with that singular enemy, themselves. And that's the last enemy. Then that enemy is going to be finally defeated on the cross as we give our lives to Him. And we die with Jesus on the cross. A thought comes against you. This is our struggle. Thoughts of defeat, putting labels on ourselves, pinning things on ourselves. I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other thing, I'm a failure. All those things we label ourselves with is us doing it. There's the influence of the world and the devil. Yeah, that's on the outside, but those have been defeated. It's time for us to get off the throne of God and allow Him to bring His labels for us, the apple of His eye, that He delights in us. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and Thou hast made me the head of the heathen. The people whom I have not known shall serve me. Verse 44, as soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid of their clothes, hideouts. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Almost want to sing that, right? The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock. That's taking possession, right? You hear David doing that. He's been possessed by God. God's taken ownership. He's the apple of God's eye, and now taking possession of this rock. Isn't that our Christian life? That rescue grip is all about that, isn't it? God's strength holding us, never letting go, never forsaking us, promising us that He will not forsake us. That the work that He began in us, He will not let go of. He will continue the work until it's completed in us. That's the rescue grip of God. That's Him possessing us. Then we try to possess back. Thank God it's not this kind of thing where we can let go. He's got a hold of us. And our return grip is what we enjoy the rest of our Christian walk, is starting to take possession of who He is, His arm of strength, His eyes that behold us, His ears, all of that stuff, starting to behold God. We start to return that relationship with Him. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avenges me and subdues the people under me. David speaking very boldly in his testimony, but now coming back to that place, it's God. It's God. Giving proper credit where credit is due. It's God that avenges me and subdues the people under me. Obviously, that's where he started. These are the resources of God that I've taken possession of, and because of that, I've been victorious. He delivers me from my enemies, yes, thou that liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises, underline, unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed evermore. Let's just take a real simple hop and skip. 17, a place of need and void, emptiness, the darkest hour, craving something, I need something, God. I don't know what it is, restless. Restless state, can't sleep, whatever it is. You know, you've been there, I've been there too many times. Coming to that place of being filled in verse 15, satisfied with God. Now it becomes to a place of singing praises in verse 49, the filled to the overflowing. Singing praises is an overflowing. Well, sure, you can do it. You can read the words on the wall. You can engage your mind and interpret the language and understand the meaning. There's a difference when you engage your heart and your mind and your body and love God. There's a huge difference. That's an overflowing of the heart. It's a big difference. So let's look at that In Ephesians 5, please, we'll finish today. And speaking of this, singing of to God is an overflowing of the heart. Ephesians 5, redeeming the time, be not unwise, all this, be not drunk with wine. Verse 18 of chapter 5 of Ephesians, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Why is there excess? Is because obviously you're looking to achieve some type of release, relief, high, whatever it is. It's not just quenching thirst here. So there's something beyond thirst happening. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. There's always a fork in the road, isn't there? There's always a choice. But be filled with the Spirit. That's the choice that God has given us. So I want to take a look at those two things from the context of the next verse that follows that. What does it mean? A lot of times people can leave you there and, okay, I don't know what that means. What does it mean? It means Psalm 18. It means Psalm 19. It means Psalm 20, 21, 22, 23. Speaking to yourselves in psalms. Folks, get it today. Be not drunk with wine wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit, semicolon. Here it is. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs. You can have psalms and hymns and spiritual, you know, you can have psalms and hymns all in the mind, all in the lips. Sounds really good. In fact, I heard a testimony yesterday of somebody that a revival broke out in a Baptist church, Street Back Baptist church that was, you know, the guy that was leading was off key, the worst music ministry ever. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit fell on the place. This guy was giving testimony to it. It was just part of his past experience in different churches. People were getting healed. Tears were flowing. Hearts were breaking. Confession was happening of people that were in bondage and things like that. That's repentance. That's revival. That's truth happening and worship happening, truth and spirit. So it is not the quality, quantity, and all of that stuff. It is the Spirit that's happening. It's an alignment of your heart with His heart. It's a heart to heart. When we speak of Spirit, that's what we're talking about. An alignment of your heart with God's heart, not just your mind, not getting doctrinally aligned. And once I figure out all how it figures out and all these things, and then through knowledge and understanding, you'll have pride. It's a heart to heart. So what's happening is an overflow of the heart in song. In radio technology, there's a carrier that, or cell phone technology. It isn't voice going through the air and your phone catches it. Okay, it's not how it works. There's what's called a carrier power signal. And that's a higher frequency in the gigahertz with your voice is down in the hertz. 2 kilohertz is like that. That's pretty high, but gigahertz, you wouldn't hear it. It's real high. So that's the carrier frequency that carries the data information. So the carrier in words here for a song is something of the Spirit. The purpose is to engage your heart with the Lord. And it's a communication beyond words. It's beyond the words of language. It's the words of the heart. It's not the words of the mind. It's the words of the heart speaking to God. Making melody, what does it say? Making melody in your mind?
Heart.
In your heart. To the Lord. Out of that overflow comes giving thanks. We were doing that last night during the prayer meeting. Giving thanks for all things, from chocolate to whatever. So something, even though that's not my gifting or anointing, the overflow of the heart can come through making melody in your heart and singing outside of the translation in your mind even. It's a heart-to-heart connection with God. So the melody, the words and everything like that are just the carrier power. And on that is a heart, is your heart being carried to God. So music has that great ability to do that. My experience in the past year and a half especially has been speaking to that, where there's a song going on in me, but it's not in my mind. I am thinking about work. I am thinking about this issue that I have at work, or other issues, or a pile of issues. I'm plagued in my mind with issues. And then as soon as I step out of the building, the stuff is going on, and I'm, wait a minute, where's that song coming from? Who's got the radio on? My heart is communing with God. My heart is making melody unto God. And I'm just being, my mind is being invited into that worship service already going on. And so I do. I just enter into that place. I leave my mind alone. I enter into that song that's happening. Romans 8:26, more information on that. We need to close up though today. We're not going to break that out anymore. Spirit to spirit going on in you. Praise God. A lot more to talk about that. I was very excited on that topic, but I sense I need to yield to God. Now, what was said was enough today. Good exercise. Allow the Lord to speak to you and go through Psalm 17 and 18 as a follow-up. And allow the emptiness, any empty spaces to be filled and then to the overflowing. Start taking possession of the things that are listed there in Psalm 18, verse 2. There's 10 of them. So count them out, make your list. And start filling your cart, the new creature, with these things until it overflows into other people's lives and just spills over onto the ground and even hits your dog, whatever, you know. All of a sudden, you start to see everything differently, even your dog, even the cloud in the sky, whatever it is. Everything changes as grace overflows in your life. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for knitting us together as your church body. Lord, I look forward to the things you have for us, future kingdom bounds, future gatherings on Sundays, future gatherings here, Lord Jesus Christ. I look forward to it because I always know that you're up to good things. You love your people. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen.